Welcome back into another edition of Spoofhound Spotlight as we are joined by Maryville School District Interim Superintendent Philip Horn. I'm Matt Trent. Thanks so much for tuning in for today's show. Philip, thanks so much for coming in studio and talking with us today. And I'd imagine at this point, maybe a little fatigue, maybe you've recovered, but you had quite the weekend, obviously starting off Saturday, the Speedy Spoofhound race, and then ending it up with prom. You had a busy weekend, but it's still great to see your face on a Monday.
The theme for today is tired, Matt. Yeah, very busy weekend. I've got a couple of gals that will then graduate this coming weekend from Maryville High School, and they were involved in prom. Before that, we did some volunteering for the Speedy Spoofhound 5K. I have to give a shout out, and I hope she hears this, but Erica Jeter, what an amazing job she does year after year with Speedy Spoofhound 5K. This year, the added bonus, we switched locations over to Maryville Middle School because of all the construction at Eugene Field, but still able to have a fun run, still then able to have our 5K. And if you kept up with KXCV, they did such a great job. But I will say, no Connor Blackford at this race. He ran the Boston Marathon, was running 6:10 per mile. We didn't quite see that kind of blazing speed for this 5K, but great participation, great numbers this year, and just a huge thanks to everyone involved with that. And then again with prom, same thing. Lots of hands go into making prom a successful event for all of our students, and I think that's how you would label prom, successful.
Hey, if you can label prom successful, you're doing something right. Mrs. Jeter, Speedy Spoofhound, also getting help from Nick Bolton, PE teacher there with Eugene Field. Most registrations ever for Speedy and the Fun Run, and they got some Northwest Missouri State student athletes involved too. And you know, you'd think shifting to a new site that might be kind of tough, but she might have a new course that's kind of becomes the new tradition here.
I'm telling you, the folks in Boston are going to call her to be their race director. I've told her that before. She's like, you are so good at this, has every detail planned out, spends a lot of time on her own, just making sure and refining that she has volunteers when they need to. The prizes that she gets from our wonderful community are second to none, and it just grows every year because she does such a good job putting her stamp on it. Another name I probably should back up and just thank real quick is Vanessa Parsons. This was her year to kind of take on prom, and for the first time in my recollection, they actually had a prom dinner up at Rose Hill Acres. Usually that is dinner on your own. So they really tried to make it more about the student body and getting them all together and having one extra thing for them this year, that dinner at Rose Hill Acres. Wonderful venue. If you haven't been, check it out. But again, just a great weekend, but now time to recharge with some caffeine, and got my coffee here. So I think that might do the trick.
Recharge, ready to go. Another busy week, busy month coming up here in the Maryville School District. Even though graduation coming up shortly, school will be getting out. There's always a full calendar here for Mr. Porin and company. But let's go ahead and dive into some of what we had with the board meeting here recently. And one of the top things, too, and maybe a little bit boring sometimes to hear about, you want to hear what the kids are doing, but this is important to keep this school district up and running and to be as quality as we see year in and year out. But a new salary schedule adopted, and this is just an opportunity to continue to make the district more competitive, to continue to bring in some really good teachers.
So we usually adopt that schedule in Maryville. Might look at it in March, but because of things going on legislatively, we wanted to wait just an extra month and feel good about where we are at with our salary schedule this year. We added $1,000 to the base. And if you're a listener, you're going, I don't really know what that means. But Maryville averages over the last 10 years, somewhere in the neighborhood of $500 to $750 added to the base. Such a good job done by our Board of Education and previous leaderships over 10 years that have put us in a position that we've got the dollars to put $1,000 toward the base. And what that does for us is it means if you are a starting teacher first year in, your starting salary now is going to be $40,750. That's $1,000 over what it was a year ago, but it also keeps us in line with Senate Bill 727, which mandates that in 25-26, the minimum teacher salary in the state of Missouri has to hit $40,000. Some of our partners around us that might not be to that level will have a salary schedule set at, let's say, $37,000, and I'm just throwing a number out there. They can apply for a grant to the state for that $3,000 difference and still be able to pay their teachers $40,000. We're at a place in Maryville where we can not have to apply for that grant, but we'll be at $40,750. The other piece to that is that when you look at your more veteran teachers, teachers of 10 years and have a master's degree, the state says you've got to be at $46,000. $47,000 the next year, 26, 27, and $48,000 in 27, 28. So Maryville, again, positioned themselves well for 24, 25, we're at $47,000 in that category. So we did a good job with our salary schedule. It kind of averages out to be about a 3.8% raise when you look at it in those terms. And that sprinkles across the rest of our scales, whether you are working in maintenance department, whether you're a secretary, a paraprofessional, et cetera, those all kind of are affected by that 3.8%. So kudos to the board for getting that through and making sure that we are staying competitive within not just our area, but our conference. And then if you look at our size of school compared to several throughout the state, we are right where we need to be.
Well, you always want to continue to be competitive with the teacher pay, but also you think about so many people staff-wise that make that school district run. So it's good to see this is going across across the board, school district-wide. But also you think about facility upgrades around the district, the community support from administration, but also you put in some more money on top of that. I mentioned before, to attract good teachers, but also it's a matter of keeping really good teachers that we already have in the district. And every little bit goes a long way, but you know, pay at the end of the day is a pretty big factor.
Yeah, and one of those things to maintain those relationships with those teachers that have been in district for a while, are, you know, we sprinkle a little bit more dollars kind of toward that 10 to 15 range when they've got some more years of experience and some more degrees behind their name. It helps that retention piece. The other thing that I would go back and say is that our Board of Education also makes sure that teachers' monthly health insurance benefit, their premium is paid at 100%. That's not true of every district. And so for our staff, that's an important piece to it, but it's hard to look at that as part of my overall benefit when your take-home paycheck doesn't reflect that $800 a month is going in to pay for your health insurance premium. So that's some of those factors that we probably look at that maybe staff don't necessarily analyze as much. The other piece that makes Missouri retirement great is that the district puts in 14.5% of district dollars for a certified staff's retirement. All good things when you hit that 28, 29 mark, when you start thinking about retirement, you know, this is pretty good stuff. But when you're a first-year teacher, you just want to know what that paycheck looks like month to month.
Be able to kind of get through and pay the bills, and the rest will kind of take care of itself as you go along. You're tuned in here for Spoofhound Spotlight on KXCV KRNW. You're talking with Interim Superintendent Philip Porin. Another thing on the docket this week, a student resource officer. Ian Myers has been with the district for quite a while, but there is that feel, that need maybe to bring on another, and it feels like this is something that might see some light at the end of the tunnel between the school district and public safety coming together to make this happen.
So a conversation that has been ongoing, and Chief Stolte and I were able to meet a couple of weeks ago and finalize what we wanted to get in front of our school board for approval. We have one school resource officer, Ian Myers, and just such a tremendous asset to our district. He helps us in a variety of ways. He also provides DARE education to our students and gets to be that friendly face of law enforcement, but then can help us with some tougher stuff as well, right? So what we have seen is that three buildings spread out across town. It's hard to, at times, make sure that we are fully staffed in a place that we can call on Ian when he's not dealing with something. And a lot of times it's a couple of somethings before he can get to maybe a need across town. So we had considered a second resource officer for us. Our commitment is to look at that resource officer's total package as far as salary, benefits, all of those things. And the district pays for 75% of that salary, that cost, and the city picks up 25%. That's our current agreement with Ian, and we wanted to, in front of the board, say, hey, let's shoot for two, see if we can't make that happen, and the board approved that so that we are able to then start advertising with Chief Stolte. He and I will sit down with some candidates, interview them. I will tell you that I'm not expecting this to happen even by the first day of school in August, simply because Chief Stolte's dealing with the loss of some personnel that he's got to get that built back up. Once that happens, I think then we'll be in a better place to determine, does a school resource officer start in December, January? Where does that fit in the grand scheme of things? So those are some of those issues, but ultimately what we look at is we get a school resource officer 100% of our school year, which is about 75% of the calendar year. So that's where that 75-25 comes in. And then during the summer, they're there to help support our local efforts, maybe cover some vacations for some other officers, pick up and go supervise out at the lake, those kind of things. Looking forward to seeing how this can move. And it's a great partnership with the city of Maryville.
And it feels like for Officer Myers right now, too, this is not necessarily like an 8-to-3 thing, but he's working some very long hours to be able to take care of students' different issues and what is needed. And that's across three different buildings. I'm sure if he was in one building, that would be something that would still be some long hours, but a little less pressure on him. So he gets spread a little bit thin. Is this something that way down the line, but ideally one resource officer in every building, is that what would be ideal?
And I think that would be the push of some of our board members. That would be some of their feeling is why stop at two when maybe we could get three. I do think right now it's a bit of supply and demand. As I mentioned, Chief Stolte and I talking, they're down a couple of officers in general. And so for them, they're going to need to get public safety boosted up before we can even put one in our school as a second. Looking comparatively, my friends in Chillicothe, hopefully some are listening to your station right now, they have three resource officers, one in each building currently. But that didn't happen overnight. That was a collaborative effort that took quite a bit of time. They ran with one resource officer, Mike Lewis, tremendous fella, for many, many years. And here just recently, they've moved into one at each building. So that is, I think, a goal of the district is to get to three schools resource officers.
And also the school board, a shuffling here of officers, an election, and a new president and vice president. We'll see J.R. Kurz assume that president role and Mitch Caulfield as VP.
Yeah, great night with reorganization. Really an opportunity to thank our outgoing president and vice president. So Josh McKim, Kelly Baldwin, if you paid attention to Spoofound Spotlight, you know their leadership over the last year has been tremendous. They've burned the midnight oil with extra meetings and putting things in place for our district to be successful. And so a lot of appreciation for what they have done over the years. And then now JR and Mitch come in as president, vice president, and look forward to their leadership with the board. They're going to have some big decisions to make as we move forward over the next several months, but full confidence in what they can do to lead our board and help our district move forward.
Now, one of the big things that we've seen over the last year plus is facility upgrades, and that's ongoing. We're going to see school get out on May 9th, and the really chance for some construction to really ramp up in some of these buildings. And one of the big things I know you've talked about, asbestos abatement.
Oh, boy, that is a lot of fun. Thank you for bringing that up, Matt.
I know you want to talk about it.
So, you know, this year has been on-the-job training 100%. Never did I go to class thinking that I would learn all about asbestos abatement. But did you know there are two different kinds of asbestos abatement? One is a chemical removal and one is a mechanical removal. And I won't go into detail, but those are two separate things that I had to learn a little bit about. Shout out to the folks at J.E. Dunn for helping educate me. But we have some asbestos abatement removal that will be taking place at the elementary and the high school so that we can fully reconstruct some of our areas that need that. We're going to get that asbestos out of there and move forward.
Hey, it's good. Every little bit helps, right?
Every little
steps
bit helps.
Along the way. Asbestos abatement, getting the facility upgrades, Spoofound One up and running. We're heading in the right direction here with the summer right around the corner. You're tuned in to Spoofound Spotlight. We'll take a break. Back with more here on KXCV KRNW. Support for Spoofound Spotlight is provided by the City of Maryville, featuring the Conference Center at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, offering a destination for wedding receptions, parties, reunions, and more. Details on availability and accommodations are at mazingolake.com. And from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing in Maryville, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years. Kawasaki has employment opportunities available now for all three shifts, weekends, and full and part-time. For more information, kawasakimaryville.com. Back on Spoofound Spotlight. Thanks for joining us here on this Monday with Interim Superintendent Philip Poore, and I'm Matt Tritton. Philip, 9 days of school remain. Everybody kind of getting that itch for summer, but hey, You got to give credit where it's due. Teachers still working hard. The students are still staying focused as much as they possibly can. But it feels like now with the weather warming up, the chance to kind of move around, get outside, getting creative. Even one that I heard when my son comes home, stepping outside for an outdoor math class and just finding different ways to incorporate the studies into the nice weather. And it's kind of nice to see some different avenues to continue to learn.
Keeping students engaged, the ultimate challenge as you head into the month of May. This year, I'm not going to say easier, but possibly slightly because we get out so early. Getting out May 9th this year, that's a calendar decision so that we give our construction folks as much time as possible throughout the course of the summer. But teachers, they are doing a fantastic job of coming off of all their testing, MAP testing, EOC testing. Those are wrapping up for our teachers, and now it's kind of just hold on to the rails of the roller coaster ride because it's going to get wild. I've always thought, especially at the elementary, and you might be able to attest to this with Nolan, but as we start having baseball, t-ball, softball practices, soccer that go into the night because the sun's still up, it's 8 o'clock and we're just getting done, haven't had dinner. Boy, that's when kids start turning into a little bit of monsters at school because they're losing out on sleep and they're tired, and it just kind of rolls into that whole time. So I'm kind of glad that we're only 9 days into May. But for all of our teachers and students, really, this is a time when we wrap things up, start to think about transition. We have students that will be traveling, eighth graders to the high school to check out the high school, fourth graders checking out the middle school. A lot of those things are happening. And, you know, there's some emotions tied to that, too. Teachers, you know, they hate to lose their students. They hate to give them up after they've just spent 177 days with them. That's one of the things that are 160 this year, about 160 days because of snow and whatnot. But after they, you know, turn them off to another teacher, hand them off, that's a struggle. But May, hold on. Here we come.
It is out. Coming quick. We want to hit on this current class of 2025 and these seniors with graduation. Before diving too much into that, let's talk about the other graduation, the kindergartners. How big is that? That's an exciting time that, like, obviously you reach a certain point, you're like, it's not that big of a deal, is it? But for these young kids and these parents, it's a lot of fun right now.
Listen, don't sleep on kindergarten graduation. May 6th at the PAC, our kindergartners get a chance to walk across the stage. They'll get handed a kindergarten diploma. And that's as special a moment for parents as 12th grade graduation, right? So that's a big event that'll be happening again May 6th. Congratulations to our kindergartners, in the same breath that we say congratulations to our spoofhounds that'll be going out into the world.
You know, every time it's about taking that next step into that next season of your life, and whether you're 5 years old moving into first grade or you're graduating high school, going into college or the workforce, it's all a big transition. We're seeing that now. Class of 2025, you've seen this group very personally, especially with Caroline and Catherine coming up and getting set to graduate this upcoming weekend. But what has this group meant to you, and how special is this class overall?
Well, it's a great class. It's a bigger class for Maryville R2, and it's a special class. I think we say that every year, but again, another special class of seniors headed out all over the world. You talk about a kid like Raymond Zhao. He was selected for the Missouri Top 100 Scholars, a 36 on his ACT. I'm not sure there's anything that this kid hasn't done. Yesterday or last week, there was an awards assembly, and I think the math department even recognized him as somebody who could probably lead the math department because he just knows so much. But he's going to Columbia University just outside of Central Park in New York City, Manhattan. What an honor to see that. Anmol Prabhakar, he is one of 12% of kids that get into Wash U in St. Louis. That's a tough university to get into. I think you got to have a 32 to 33 ACT, so he's going to fit in well there. Then you have students that are going NCMC, taking advantage of A-plus scholarship. Probably 8 to 10 kids doing that. Pursuing education, nursing, radiology tech, students going to MU, Missouri State, a slew of kids going to Northwest Missouri State, probably in the round like 12 to 14 kids going there. Of that group, a couple of those kids are going to be participating in many activities and athletics, football, cross country, track, probably some dancers, etc. So there are kids that are going out doing some great things to pursue academics, but also we have students that are entering the workforce. And what's really cool about that is a lot of these kids already have a plan. of what they want to do. You hear from kids that have already started a lawn mowing landscaping company. Heard from a kid last week that wants to start his own real estate business. He's got a plan for building a tiny house and just getting started that way. Lots of neat things happening with this class of 2025, and it's going to go down as just a very special class. We got to see it kick off in the fall because we were covering fall sports and we were covering football, and you know that special team just was parlayed into what this special class can do.
Well, and we do get that unique opportunity that not everybody does to be able to broadcast those games, and so we love going out and doing that. But you talk about all these different opportunities, whether it's pursuing education or going out in the workforce and all these different plans, the entrepreneurs you're talking about. At times, I know as we get a little bit older, we get a little bit jaded and talk about, man, these kids have no work ethic. But I feel like we sell a lot of kids short because, as you kind of mentioned right there, there's a lot that have plans and they have been pursuing them now for years on end.
Mm-hmm. And you think about, just like what you mentioned, whether it's a senior spotlight that you would do in the fall with some of our football program kids, or whether it be those halftime interviews that Caroline would lead with some of her seniors that were participating in different activities, you had well-spoken kids. You could tell they're highly educated kids. They've got great families supporting them all the way, and they want to go out and do great things for not just Maryville, but maybe out into the world community. So it's very much a testament, not just to what's happened this year in Maryville Public Schools, but I think it's a testament to what happens from the beginning, kindergarten all the way through. And I know some of those kids are St. Greg's kids and they do a great job there. Some of those kids start out at Horace Mann. Again, great job there. But collectively, I think we make and build better spoof hounds.
In Northwest Missouri State, you have people coming from all over the region that want to come here to become educators. For the Maryville School District, and we talk a lot about Eugene Field, the middle school and the high school, Northwest Technical School puts a lot of these students in a good spot with the teaching professions program. Mm-hmm. A lot of these folks are able to kind of get in, get some classroom experience before they even set foot on the Northwest campus.
What an opportunity that program provides for our students that want to be educators. What I would say is one of the probably the top aspects of that program is it gets students into classrooms early, which gives them the chance to determine if this is really the path that I want to take. And so we've seen that over and over, that our educators, our future educators, a lot of them are getting into classrooms. A lot of them are attending Northwest. Some of those are going down to NCMC for that two-year program and then plan to transfer to Northwest. We love to see that we're growing our own and feel like we're probably just at the beginning of where that can go. We have some districts around us that are taking those grow your own kids their senior year, and they're utilizing them as paraprofessionals in the classroom maybe half of a day. So they're getting paid to be a paraprofessional because they've gone through all the steps required. They've gotten their paraprofessional certification within that program. Just one example of how the NTS is just such a beacon for our district. Those sending schools that come over here, their kids get every bang for their buck when they're part of our NTS program.
Those are incredible opportunities. And you mentioned the sending schools and NTS, and we've got to get a pretty special shout out here to Kenneth Schieber, who's a Northeast Nottoway student but comes over to the tech school here in Maryville, placed first in automotive service technology and first in automotive technical information in competition at the State Technical College of Missouri. Now he's off to the Skills USA National Competition. You talk about the education and what these kids are able to do. We talk a lot about the athletic side, but Kenneth getting out there and putting himself out there and doing well in school, but then finding a way to continue to build himself up, that is impressive.
A kid that will be one of one. He is the only, not Maryville, because he's not from Maryville, but he is one of one, meaning he will represent the entire state of Missouri at this national competition. Huge honor. I don't know that I can go back and say we've had that happen before, because I'm not sure we have. But for Kenneth, a sending school kid coming to our NTS program, taking advantage of an opportunity where interest meets education, and that's what NTS is all about, this kid's got a bright future.
That is awesome. So good luck to Kenneth as he heads off to the Skills USA National Competition. All right, Philip, just a few more things to wrap up with before we let you go. Thanks for coming in. This is Spoofhound Spotlight on KXCV, KRNW. A lot of FFA students just getting back from state competition a week ago.
Yeah, six teams went to state And they were very, very well represented through our NTS programs. We had things like Dairy Foods Group go, Farm Management, Soils, several others. They took off for state, and I just know that we put a lot into that FFA program, and we get a lot out of that. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had our greenhouse sale through the FFA. Huge participation in that. That brings a lot of community members out. If you weren't able to take part, look for it next year. Come out, get some good deals on some greenery out there. We have a very thriving program here in Northwest Missouri. Want to shout out our FFA.
Also, summer school is right around the corner. Official dates for that, May 21st through June 11th.
Yeah, that one is a little bit different this year. It's going to take place at the Tech School where our third and fourth graders have been all year long. We have the space there. That's going to be unrenovated space, so we can continue to use that. Because all of our other buildings are going through some phase of renovation, we had to keep it there and limit to rising third graders, rising fourth graders, and rising fifth graders. Enrollment did end on April 11th, but you might take a peek at some communication coming home. We'll look at the numbers that we have enrolled, and we may open up some more slots if we can. So we're expecting probably about 125 kids for that May 21st through June 11th session. Again, that will take place at Northwest Tech School.
Should folks call NTS if they're looking for information just to check on that?
I would say check our website. And then if you don't see anything there, it wouldn't hurt to give Shelly Green a call and just make sure that there's no spots available.
And at the outset, you mentioned Connor Blackford running the Boston Marathon. He's a 2024 Maryville graduate, currently a freshman at Kansas State. A terrific time, 2 hours, 46 minutes. If you've never run a marathon, he's flying. I mean, that was moving. Does that inspire you to sign up for a marathon?
So, you know, my daughter, Catherine, that's the first thing that she wanted to do after that. She's like, let's get signed up. So I told her, what do you think about the half marathon in Kansas City? She's never done that before. I think you've done the full.
Done the half. I've only done half.
Half, which I told her half is really where it's at for an old guy like me.
Yes.
So I'm trying to convince her of that. If she wants to run the full, maybe she can run it with a young guy like yourself. However, that is a great race to run. I'm not sure that she nor I, maybe you, can get to that qualifying time for a Boston down the road.
But never.
My goodness.
Never.
Connor was running like 6:10 per mile for the first half of that race. And then he hit, is it a Heartbreak Hill?
Yep.
That kind of slowed him down a little bit. But boy, I say slow him down. He's still running at a faster pace than I'm running downhill, being chased by bears.
100%. And then after he got out of Heartbreak Hill, his final 3.2 miles was about a 6:13 pace.
Isn't that something?
You go 23 miles and you still finish that fast?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Summer around the corner. Obviously, you're going to stay busy throughout. It's not just, a couple months and you get a couple months off. But you're 12 months out of the year. You're going into the office. But take me back. Philip Porin, Red Oak, Iowa. Philip Porin, growing up, what was your favorite summer tradition?
I don't know if I had a favorite summer tradition, but I'll tell you, thinking about jobs, my favorite job was I was a tennis instructor.
Really?
So my mornings were spent down at the Red Oak High School tennis courts, probably where I first decided maybe education was right for me. So I was doing tennis lessons for students, kids that were, anywhere from 6 years old to probably 16 years old, just a couple years younger than me at the time. And we had a pretty good tennis team back in Red Oak. They still have, I think, some pretty good teams. They've got some tremendous facilities. I think Northwest has played in their indoor facility a couple times. But that was probably what I remember most, is getting up on a hot, summer morning, being down on the courts, letting the courts just kind of radiate heat. And by the time you're done at noon, man, all you want to do is go home, take a shower, set in the air conditioning if you can find it. Might surprise you, back in those days, Matt, central air wasn't always a thing, right? So, but we that was something that I played a lot of tennis in high school. And John Coffey and I have yet to get on the courts together. I'm a little nervous because I think he's pretty good.
He's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't tell him I said that, but he's pretty good.
I won't, but golly, I tried to get him to play pickleball, and I think he's really finally kind of made that transition, but he's not one to give up tennis just quite yet.
He's still pretty good. Plays a lot of tennis still, so
yeah.
Be careful. I didn't realize you were that high level to be teaching lessons for tennis. I knew you as All-State defensive back Philip Porin on the football field.
Well, you have to do something when you're 5'6", and you can play the DB position, because a 4.8 40 in Red Oak, Iowa is probably the equivalent of a 4.4 40 in Union Star, Missouri. So
for sure,
those
for
are
sure.
things that you have to kind of correlate with. But yeah, tennis and defensive back. That's what I should be remembered for.
You were Cooper DeGene before Cooper DeGene was Cooper DeGene.
I'm pretty sure he patterned his game after me.
I think there's some similarities
yeah,
there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Philip, thanks so much for coming by. Good to see you. Graduation this upcoming week. Your twins graduating. I will be a little bit emotional. So power through.
Yeah, power through. And I hope that I'll see you there.
I'll be around, yeah, sir. You better be. I'll be around.
Yeah, they're counting on it.
That's going to wrap things up for this edition of Spoof Hound Spotlight. Be sure to tune back in May 26th. That's Memorial Day. That'll be our next episode of Spoof Hound Spotlight as we'll be joined by Interim Superintendent Philip Horn and take you around the Maryville School District.
Support for Spoof Hound Spotlight is provided by the City of Maryville, featuring a conference center at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, offering a destination for wedding receptions, parties, reunions, and more. Details on availability and accommodations are at MazingoLake.com. And from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing in Maryville, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years. Kawasaki has employment opportunities available now for all three shifts, weekends, and full and part-time. For more information, KawasakiMaryville.com.